You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
For parents looking at schools for their college-bound kids, this is not something that comes up typically on the campus tour.
It was at night. We were dancing. I was out with some friends. People were drinking, but nobody was ridiculously drunk, and I got pulled outside and banged my head against a wall and was raped.
He just started kind of like pulling me towards the bathroom. He grabbed my head by the side of my ear and slammed it against the bathroom tile. And it didn't stop.
Two victims from the University of North Carolina. They could be from any school around the country, though, sharing their stories of being victims of sexual assault in the new documentary, The Hunting Ground, which looks at what it means that 25% of students can expect to become assault victims during their time on campuses. The Hunting Game explores just how hard it is to prosecute these cases and how schools, in many cases, actively discourage enforcement of existing laws. The film is written and directed by Kirby Dick and produced by Amy Ziering, the Oscar-nominated team that investigated sexual assault in the military for the movie The Invisible War.
I mean, we had just finished our film Invisible War on the military, and we had obviously anticipated that that institution would be a little less forthcoming than you would expect. And we thought that schools, contrarily, would be more transparent. But we found just the opposite, right, Kirby?
Yeah. You know, you think of a university as a free speech zone, really. I mean, that's what I think about it when I think about it. But when it came to this, very many people in the administration and the faculty knew this was a problem, and very few people were, most people, nearly all people were afraid to speak out about it.
Who did speak, and what did students say to you?
We spoke with well over 100 survivors and interviewed,
close to 60 on camera.
Yes.
Over and over again, the stories were uncannily echoed one another. They were, you know, an assault that happened. And then the student sort of naively would assume that the institution would sort of be eager to help them, support them, et cetera. And ironically, the student time and time again would find just the opposite was true.
They kept asking me, like, what were you wearing? Like, what were you drinking? Like, how much did you have to drink? Did you pregame?
He kind of just lectured us about how we shouldn't go out in short skirts and we shouldn't drink because, I mean, that's our fault.
Did you say no? How many times did you say no? How did you say it? Okay, what were you wearing?
There was no response. There was no response for 7 months.
I thought that if I told them, like, they would take action. But the only action they took was against me.
She said, I should just drop out until everything blows over, out of school.
I went back into her office and I asked her what happened, and she looked me right in the eye and told me that she forgot.
The school's response always seemed like they were more concerned about him and his needs.
She said, you don't know what he's going through right now, neither do I. He could be really having a hard time.
And we found this across all schools. I mean, whether it was, Ivy League schools, big football schools, small liberal arts schools, state schools. I mean, it was a problem at every school. This is across higher education.
And if you look at the circumstances of higher education, you've got young people in a high-stress environment with suddenly the rules have been taken off once they turn 18. Does that contribute to this, or is there something else going on that enables this sort of thing to happen?
Well, I mean, you have people coming from high school going into college thinking it's a safe environment, and in most situations it is. But there are some environments that aren't safe. I mean, there are situations where people go to parties, they think it's especially safe, and what you have there is, at those parties, and we found this out, is you have serial predators who've assaulted before looking to find someone to assault them. Now, most men in colleges and are not, you know, would never assault a woman or a man. But there are a small minority of men who do it again and again. And this is the same thing we found in the military.
How does this ruin college for the people that you talk to?
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it completely really decimates their experience.
I mean, it really affects their academic performance. I mean, whether they come forward or not, in many, many cases, unfortunately, in most cases, in fact, well over 80%, women and men who are assaulted don't even report to any kind of authority. But for all of them, I mean, it really affects their academic performance. They oftentimes people drop out of school. They have to take a semester off. Sometimes they never go back to school. We know of a number of students like that. I mean, it's profoundly impacting.
And the reason that is unlike in civilian life or in the public, you are trapped on this campus with your perpetrator. And if there's nothing going on and there's no investigations or any processes going forward, then you end up, you know, running into him, and no place seems safe, and that's terrifying.
Yeah, no, I mean, we heard that over and over from the survivors we spoke with.
And are men targets?
Yes, mostly by men, but in some cases by women as well. And it's even harder for them to report.
You know, parent beware. I happen to be a parent with two high school juniors who are looking at colleges right now. Is there any way for me to know how to distinguish one institution from the other based on your research?
Well, transparency. That's the first thing I'd look for. I mean, I think very few schools are doing this right. I mean, just kind of say Yale is doing something right on this. I mean, they have their issues, but they're doing something right. They have a survey that's done, I think, twice a year that not only do they list the number of reports, but they list how those processes were adjudicated and what the consequences were if people were found responsible. That's a good sign. Schools have to be willing to put a lot of money into the investigation and adjudication systems so that when somebody does report, they will be able to find out, A, if this is an accurate report, but B, be able to go through the process and then find this person responsible and, in most cases, hopefully, remove them from the campus.
When a prosecution doesn't take place, does that continue a trauma in the interviews that you did?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Time and again, what I heard from survivors was not only was the assault, itself horrific, but everything that happened in the aftermath really compounded the trauma exponentially, which was interesting and strange. So it wasn't even, they said they might have been able to get past that, but it was really sort of the constant failure of anyone to believe them, support them, and then for them to have any access to any kind of fair adjudication system. And what we found in situations where that did happen, the person healed and could pass through the incident a lot more quickly, even if the prosecution wasn't successful.
These students, just like in the military, these students expect their school to do the right thing. Anybody coming forward does it because they have faith and trust that their school will be the right thing. And so when it doesn't, it's a double betrayal.
Kirby Dick and Amy Ziering, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Writer and director Kirby Dick and producer Amy Ziering are the team behind The Hunting Ground, a new documentary about sexual assault on college campuses.
Support for The Takeaway comes from LegalZoom. For over 10 years, providing solutions for business owners, families, and individuals to get legal help, including incorporation, LLCs, wills, and living trusts. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com.